Good. Anything else?
We discussed the marks on the water safety question.
Yeah. And the marks on the lotus feet of. Awesome. Anything else? Good. Anything else?
Supremacy.
Yeah. Good. Anything else?
We should become attached to Krishna's Leela and Rupa, and especially when we chant.
Hmm.
And the gopis display that naturally when they're in his absence.
Yeah. Very good. Anything else?
The entire purpose of Srimad Bhagavatam is to establish the supremacy of Srimad Bhagavatam.
How do you know? You weren't even here. Archer. Okay. Yeah. You should listen to last night's class. If you didn't hear it, then you should listen. If you're studying this section, then listen, because last night's class is quite important. Any other point?
Is the sound of Lord Krishna's flute.
Very good. Any other points? Okay, so we'll continue tonight. The plan was to finish the chapter, but Krishna obviously has another plan because that's not going to happen. So we'll go through verses 30 to 36. I was preparing the class, but there's too many points within the verses and the purports, so it's hard to speed up. Okay, so tonight we'll start with verse number 30. These footprints of that special gopi greatly disturb us. Of all the gopis, she alone was taken away to a secluded place. No talking, any talking, go out. Of all the gopis, she alone was taken away to a secluded place, where she is enjoying the lips of Krishna. Look, we can't see her footprints over here. It's obvious that the grass and sprouts were hurting the tender soles of her feet. And so the lover lifted up his beloved. So, who is speaking here? Yeah, very good. Yeah. Chandravali's gopis are speaking, the right wing gopis are speaking. In the first half of the verse. The second half is spoken by the left wing gopis. So which gopi has been there's a phone there. Yeah. Make sure Shri Chaitanya gets the comment. So which gopi has Krishna taken away? Shrimati Radharani. So this pastime is showing the supremacy of Shrimati Radharani above all the gopis. That's why we said last night, the entire Bhagavatam is spoken to glorify the Brijvasis. Now, the residents of Vrindavan are the most exalted devotees within the universe. There's no one more exalted than the residents of Vrindavan. And amongst the residents of Vrindavan, as we'll see from this section all the way now to chapters 30, even into the chapters in the 40s, we'll see that the residents of Vrindavan are glorified, and among them especially the gopis are glorified as being supreme. Now, amongst the gopis, Srimati Radharani is being glorified as being supreme. So as we said last night, in one sense, the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is simply to exalt or to glorify the position of Shrimati Radharani. She is the topmost devotee of Krishna. So we understand, because the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is to teach us the path of pure devotional service. Rupa Goswami says, Anyabhilashita Shunyam Jnana Kamadyanavritam. What's the next one? Anukuyena Krishnanam Shilanam Bhakti Uttama. So the entire Bhagavatam is to teach us Uttama Bhakti, which means pure devotional service, the topmost devotional service. Now, who exemplifies or displays the topmost devotional service? Srimati Radharani. Her name is Radhika. Radhika means the best of worshippers, or the greatest devotee in the service of Krishna. She satisfies Krishna more than anyone else, so therefore she's considered supreme. So in one sense, the entire Srimad Bhagavatam culminates at this exact point where Radharani is seen as being supreme. So Krishna takes her. Even though there are 3 billion gopis, but he only takes her. And this will be described. We'll describe tonight why it is that Krishna only takes her. So in the first half of this verse, we see that Radharani's rivals are speaking. So what do they say? Chandravali and the others. Those footprints of that special gopi greatly disturb us. So they're disturbed. There's this transcendental envy. In the spiritual world, there is no envy. So we have to understand this point. Because the Bhagavatam says in the very beginning, in the opening verses, the opening 3 verses of the Bhagavatam, so the Bhagavatam is for those who are near Matsara. Near Matsara means those who are free from envy. So in the spiritual world, there is no envy. Yet, for the pleasure of Krishna, there is a transcendental competition or envy between the two parties of gopis. So they're saying that the fact that Radharani is with Krishna, he's taken this particular gopi, it is disturbing us. Now, in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, which is a natural commentary on the Srimad Bhagavatam, Sanatana Goswami describes, at one point, the right and left wing gopis come together and they serve together. So actually, they're very close. Radharani and Chandravali, what is their relationship? Cousins, yeah. They're cousins. So you don't dislike your cousin. But the problem is they both like the one person. So there's a competition there between Radharani and Chandravali. There's competition. But actually, they're cousins. So there's a love between them. And there are times, it describes in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, where Radharani's party and Chandravali's party come together and they serve together. So, and even in Ananda Brindavan Champu, actually, if you read Ananda Brindavan Champu, has anyone been reading it or has read it? Woody, good. Where are you up to?
I read up to that holy festival.
Okay. Just before this?
Yeah, before this.
Okay. So you have to speed up. Yeah. This week you have to catch up and get up to this part, because then you'll understand what's going on in this part. So actually, in the holy festival, you see with Chandravali and Radharani's party, they're both there together. Both parties are serving Krishna, and both are participating in holy simultaneously. And actually, they even note, Chandravali's party even say that of all the gopis here, Radharani is supreme. They know that. But still there has to be some competition, because then it creates some tension and some satisfaction for Krishna. But there's no, it's not like the envy in this world. It's hard to understand. And it's not easy to understand. How is it you can be competitive with someone but not envious of them? It's difficult to understand. You have to have a purified heart to understand this. Srila Prabhupada was like this as well. Prabhupada was competitive. Because Prabhupada, he wanted the Chaitanya Charitamrita, the entire Chaitanya Charitamrita, published in 2 months. So he set up like a competition amongst the devotees. And then as the volumes came out, the book distributors were distributing them. So the devotees were competing with each other. And the book distributors were saying, well, you can't print them fast enough. Because as soon as you print them, we get them, we distribute them all. So you're not printing them fast enough. And they say, no, 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 we're well ahead. We're printing. So there was a competition going on. And Prabhupada said, actually, I've defeated all of you. Because I'm 5 volumes ahead of all of you. I'm translating faster than you can print and faster than you can distribute. So that's Prabhupada's mood. It was competitive, but only for the pleasure of Krishna. That's the point. So we compete with other devotees. Sometimes we have competition. You know, we try to distribute more books, or, you know, when we have Jula and Yatra, the devotees make nicer swings and nicer swings. It's like transcendental competition there. But it's only for Krishna's pleasure. That's the point. It's hard to understand this point. We have to meditate very deeply to understand the competitive nature of the gopis. So, Chandravali's party is saying, of all the gopis, she alone was taken away to a secluded place where she is enjoying the lips of Krishna. Now, Radharani's group begin to speak in the second half of the verse. So they say, look, we can't see her footprints over here. It is obvious that the grass and sprouts were hurting the tender soles of her feet, and so the lover lifted up his beloved. So even though Krishna only took Radharani, but when Radharani's party, who are loyal to her, Lalita, it's called Lalita Gan. Actually, in our tradition, we are said to be in Lalita Gan, which means we're in Lalita's group. Because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is a combined form of Radha and Krishna. And Swarup Damodar Goswami was his personal secretary. Right? And you could not get an audience with Lord Chaitanya without the permission of Swarup Damodar. So you cannot get service to Srimati Radharani without the blessings of Lalita Devi, without her permission. So we are in Lalita Gan, which means the followers of Lalita Devi. So all of the followers of Srimati Radharani from Lalita onwards, they're in ecstasy, because even though Radharani is by herself with Krishna, they're thinking, yes, Radharani is with Krishna. And what gives them the greatest satisfaction? What makes them the happiest? What's the thing that gives Radharani's followers the most happiness? We're Radha Krishna together, but more technically speaking.
When Radharani follows
Krishna? Yeah, when they're alone, when they're enjoying, yeah. But even more technical. What gives them the most pleasure?
When Krishna chooses Radharani over everybody else.
But what, even more technically, what gives them the most pleasure? The followers of Radharani.
When Krishna rejects the right and gopis for Radharani.
Yeah, that's all implied. But
Radharani can serve.
When Krishna serves Radharani, that's when they get the most pleasure. So what are they seeing here? They're seeing just the balls of Krishna's feet. Means like he's standing up because he's reaching up to pick up the flowers. So he's serving Radharani. So that gives them the most pleasure. So that's that. Now their ecstasy is overwhelming. All the gopis go into ecstasy because Krishna is serving Srimati Radharani. So that gives them the greatest pleasure. So they're saying here, it is obvious that the grass and sprouts were hurting the tender soles of her feet. And so the lover lifted up his beloved. Because many of the followers of Radharani, they're more attached to Radharani even than Krishna. Some gopis are equal. Some gopis are more attached to Krishna, but many are more attached to Srimati Radharani. So Radha's party are very satisfied because Krishna has chosen Radharani and he's only associating with Radharani. And they're also very satisfied because Chandravali has been rejected. So they're very happy for that. Not in a malicious way, but they feel transcendentally satisfied because Radharani has been glorified. Any points?
Are there any occasions when Chandravali and Krishna are together and Radharani?
Yeah, many times.
Do you find any of the worshippers of Chandravali and Krishna? Is there any lineage between heard of anything like that?
I've never heard of anything. Maybe there's something, but it's not very common. Wherever you go, like around Radhakund or around Vrindavan, it's only Radha Krishna, Radha Krishna. So there's no Chandravali Krishna.
And in the Sampradaya, so we heard of that. Like in South India, they worship Krishna and Rukmini and Satyabhama and his Dwarka form, but we never see Chandravali being worshipped along with Radharani.
No, she won't be worshipped with Radharani.
Like how Satyabhama and Rukmini are in the size of Krishna, like that, we never see Chandravali along with Krishna and the altar.
Yeah, because the followers of Srimati Radharani are very intense. They don't like to see that. It's like a rasa bus. In Dwarka, it's different because there's the first queen, second queen, like that, eight principal queens, and then 16,100 other queens. So there it's the queens intermingle, even though there's some competitiveness. Rukmini and Satyabhama are competing, but there's also an acceptance because they're married. Whereas in Vrindavan, there's the two camps and they're very strong about not intermingling or defeating the other. It says that some of the gopis, their service is to stop Chandravali's group from associating with Krishna. So they meet them on the path when they're walking somewhere and then they make up all sorts of tricky statements to divert them. So that's part of their service. Spiritual is a very exciting place.
But is it also a bit surprising to see that although Radharani is the principal gopi in Vrindavan, but she's Satyabhama, whereas Chandravali is with me and Rukmini is the principal queen in Dwarka. So there we see a little bit of a reversal happening.
Yeah, the mood is different. The mood is different. Because Rukmini is more qualified than Satyabhama. But Radharani is more qualified than Chandravali. The mood's different in the two pastimes. Any other points?
I think this is less than for all the devotees. Like, if they can't do any service, and their family's the only way is to please the Krishna. So if they can't do this, their Radharani is to have to do the only way the Krishna should be pleased. And there are some things that they do, if they can't do, the Krishna should be pleased.
Yeah. Spiritual world, there's no envy. That's the point. They don't try to pull everyone down. They try to lift everyone up. Anything else? Okay. Please observe, my dear gopis, how in this place lusty Krishna's footprints are pressed more deeply into the ground. Carrying the weight of his beloved must have been difficult for him. And over here, that intelligent boy must have put her down to gather some flowers. Would have approved.
The word Madhu indicates that even though Sri Krishna was not officially married to Radharani, he had in fact made her his bride in the Vrindavana forest. According to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, the gopis use the word Kamina here to indicate the following thoughts. We actually love Sri Krishna, but still he has rejected us. Therefore, his private dealings with Radharani prove that this young prince of Praja has carried her away because of lust. If he were interested in love, he would have accepted us instead of that comfort girl Radharani. These thoughts reveal the more of gopis who are rivals of Srimati Radharani. Of course, the gopis who are her direct allies were jubilant to see her good fortune.
Any points there?
So the rivalry is there in the spiritual world,
yep.
But it's not like mundane.
Not material.
Mm-hmm.
not material. Any other points? So there's continuing dialogue or discussion from Chandravali's camp. So they're saying, please observe, my dear gopis, how in this place, lusty Krishna's footprints are pressed more deeply into the ground. So they're calling him lusty. They particularly use the Sanskrit. Kamina, lusty. They're calling Krishna lusty. Why are they calling Krishna lusty? Because Chandravali is saying that we love him. Whereas these gopis, they do not love Krishna. There is not love in their heart. Srimati Radharani is simply attracted to him out of lust. So, because he is also lusty, he is taking her into the forest just to enjoy lusty affairs between the two of them. But our love is superior. And we're not attracted to him just because of lust. We want to serve him. Therefore, we are superior. So this girl, okay, this is how they're consoling themselves. Okay, she's with him, but only because he's lusty and she is also a lusty person, so they've gone off. That's why. But actually, we are more qualified, and he would be happier with us because we love him, and we will do anything for him. So they're trying to justify, to make themselves feel better. But it's actually exactly the opposite. Radharani doesn't have any lust. And actually, she's the most devoid of lust. And she loves him more than anyone else. So they can't say anything. They say all this stuff, but the fact is Radharani is with him. So they've already been defeated. So, interesting in the Sanskrit, they use the word Vatu in relationship to Srimati Radharani. What does that mean? The bride, the wife. Because factually speaking, they are married. But for the purpose of pastime, eternally, they remain separated. They cannot marry. Yogamaya does not allow at any point for Radha and Krishna to become publicly married. There's never a public wedding ceremony. Even in Vrindavan, every day, Srimati Radharani goes and cooks for Krishna. Because Radharani has, out of all the different ways that she serves Krishna, two of the ways she serves Krishna are considered to be supreme. What are the two ways she serves Krishna? Cooking and
dancing.
And of the two, which is the best? Wrong.
Dancing.
The dancing gives him the most pleasure. But her cooking is said to be, whatever she cooks, she was given the benediction by? Devasa Muni. One time Devasa came to Vrindavan. You know Devasa? He's famous. He curses people. You know who he is. Partial expansion of Shiva. So gets a little bit angry. So Devasa came. Radharani was a young girl living in Vrindavan. And you know, when kids, you make some with mud, you make some cakes or something. So Devasa came. Radharani said, Muniji, please take this prasad. I made it for you. Right? And he said, that is just some mud, some earth. He said, no, it is prasad. So he picked it up and then just pretending, he took a little bite, just like that. But when he tasted it, it was like nectar. Even when Radharani makes something out of earth, it tastes like amrita. Amrita means like nectar. So he gave her the benediction. He said, whatever you cook will always taste like nectar, and you will never cook the same thing twice. It will always taste fresh, different, new. So he gave the benediction. And whoever tastes Radharani's cooking will live a very long life. So Mother Yashoda, she found out that Radharani had the benediction, so she insisted that every day Radharani comes from Yavat or Varshana and cooks for Krishna. So when she arrives, Mother Yashoda loves Srimati Radharani as much as Krishna. And what does she think in her heart? No one can marry my Nandalal except for Radhika. Right? So she always thinks like that. So one day Radharani finished cooking for Krishna, and then Mother Yashoda was so overwhelmed the next day she couldn't control herself. So she got turmeric paste and she rubbed it on Radharani's palms. Right? Which means when the girls have turmeric, means they're going to get married. Right? And then she said, tell your mother we have a special arrangement we want to make. So Radharani was horrified. She thought, how can I go home? Turmeric, my father has not even been involved. My mother has not been involved. I come home, I have turmeric on my hand. So she ran down, there's one kund at the bottom of, at Varshana, one kund. So she came from on the way back. Before she went home, she washed her hands. And it says even to this day, the kund has a yellowish color. Radharani is washing her hands. What's that? Pilipoka, very good. Yeah, Pilipoka, just near Varshana. So, Srimati Radharani, she went home, and then there was some discussion. Right? Kirtida heard that Mother Yashoda wants them to get married, Radha and Krishna. And then Prishabhanamara said, this is a very good idea. So then he gets all these jewels and he sends a gift to Nanda Maharaj and says, we accept the proposal. Nanda Maharaj sends gifts back. Yes, this is excellent. So let's begin to organize the marriage. So practically a marriage starts being organized. So then Purnamasi, Yogamaya, she's the elderly gopi in Vrindavan. She wears white. Her hair is white. She wears white. Everyone listens to her. She's a disciple of Narada. She's the grand... she's the mother of Sandipani Muni, Krishna's guru. The grandmother of? Madhumangala. Yeah. So everyone in Vrindavan listens to her. She's the guru ma of Vrindavan. So then she thinks, as Yogamaya, Krishna's pastime potency, they have to stay separate. They can't marry because the Parakeya Bhav will not be there. They will not enjoy. Krishna will not enjoy as much. So no, she comes and she says, it's very inauspicious. No marriages, 1 year. Look at the astrology, the Jyotish. Very bad, inauspicious. 1 year, nothing. No marriages. Right? So everyone says, oh, so then they cancel the whole thing. No marriage, no marriage, like that. So then it all disappears, everyone forgets, and then the pastimes go on. So whenever it looks like they're going to get married, then she stops it. So, factually, they're married. Factually. Because in her heart, Radharani accepts no one except Krishna. And in Krishna's heart, accepts no one except Radharani. So they're married. But for the purpose of pastime, they cannot come together. So there's never a external marriage, a public marriage. Although in the forest, we've told the pastime before, sometimes Lord Brahma comes down in Bandiravan and he conducts a marriage ceremony and they get married. But publicly, it's never there. Now, some pastime takes place, but there's no public marriage. So, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments in his commentary on this verse, very nice Sanskrit. He says that in Krishna's heart, because what's being described in this verse? Yeah, that she is Vadu. But what's Krishna doing in the verse? What do we see Krishna doing in this verse?
He's
picking flowers for his wife. What do we see Krishna doing in Bhagavad Gita? Driving the chariot of Arjuna. So Krishna is serving his devotee. So who's his favorite devotee? Shrimati Radharani. And he's in the forest and he's picking flowers for her because he wants to serve her. So God himself gets greater pleasure serving the devotee than. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says within his heart, he is absorbed in a festival to give pleasure to and to decorate Srimati Radharani. So he is in ecstasy. Krishna is feeling blissful, ecstatic. Because all he wants to do is please and serve Srimati Radharani. That is his only desire. Even though he's God himself, but in his heart, he's overwhelmed. He just wants to serve her, to please her in any way he can. So he renders all types of services for her. Any points? So you go to famous places like in Sringarbhat, in Nityanandabhat, in Vrindavan. You know that place? Anyone been there? No? Yeah. So you know that picture that's there? Special picture on the altar? Where Krishna is decorating Radharani's hair? So all these pastimes take place at these very sacred places. These are the most intimate pastimes where Krishna serves Srimati Radharani. This is that whole area. Seva Kunj, it's called. Now, Radha Damodar. Now, what did Prabhupada say about the Radha Damodar temple? Prabhupada lived there, right? 4 years. Yeah, he said, I live there eternally. What else did he say?
It's the hub of the entire.
Yeah, he said, it's the center of the spiritual world. Yeah, very good. And what else did he say? He said, that is my eternal home. Where Krishna serves Radharani, Prabhupada said, that is my home. We don't know who Prabhupada was in Krishna's pastimes, but he must be a very intimate associate because he says that is his home at that place. Any points?
It is said that when Krishna dresses the hair, so then in between the knees of Krishna and put the flower and the leaves.
That's coming up. Next few verses.
There is a similar picture at on the banks of in the temple on the banks of Kusum Sarovar as well, where Krishna is decorating Radharani's hair and Radharani is looking at another and looking at Krishna in that place.
Yeah. That little temple right next to which I think is now it's an ISKCON temple. Yeah, ISKCON devotees. Pambihari Maharaj, a key. Any other points? Prabhupada said that.
Center.
Any other point? Yeah. She likes being served by him. Why? Because it makes him happy. Yeah, that's why she does it. Because it makes him happy.
And at the Tokyo Mama, she sent Krishna to bring the pies up from
heaven. Yeah. A little bit dominant. So this is the mood. And I told you, I think, a few weeks ago that in the morning, before she leaves Varshana or Yavat, she's getting dressed by her assistants, the Sakis, the Manjaris, then they bring a mirror, a large mirror in front of her. And when she looks at herself, right, she said, there is no one more beautiful than me. But she's not saying it egotistically. She said, there's no one more beautiful than me. Therefore, I should be with Krishna. I should serve Krishna. No one else. Because no one else can satisfy him. Right? No one else. Krishna will not see anyone else and get as much pleasure, right, as he will get when he sees me. And no one else can give him as much pleasure. That's when she goes into the mood of man. You know, man means?
Anger.
Yeah, it's jealous anger. Right? She goes into that mood, which is one of the levels of prema, or love of God. Man has its own category. It's very common in the spiritual world. Right? She gets in this jealous anger, this pouting, jealous, angry mood regularly. It's almost like a daily occurrence. So there goes Radharani again. Oh, there goes Lalita again. They're always in this mood of man. So when she goes into that mood of man, right, that is only to give Krishna pleasure. Because she thinks, when she goes into that mood, she thinks, why is he with the others? Why does he spend time with these other gopis? Obviously, I will satisfy him the most. So that's why, when she gets into that angry mood, that's why she gets like that. Because she hears, oh, Krishna is with Chandravali. So it sounds like she's upset because Chandravali is with Krishna, not her. But actually, she's thinking, why is he wasting his time? Why is he wasting time with her? Could be come with me, and I can set it. I'm the only one who can satisfy him anyway. So she gets angry, and she gets very upset with him. Mm-hmm. Why are you trying to enjoy without me? So these things are a little difficult to understand because we're talking about pure consciousness. Whereas for us, we cannot fully understand it yet because our consciousness is still obscured or contaminated by material conceptions, egotistical conceptions. But within her, there's no ego. Just see how in this place dear Krishna collected flowers for his beloved. Here he has left the impression of only the front part of his feet because he was standing on his toes to reach the flowers. So basically, this is Krishna. Krishna is known as? Yeah, Bhakta Vatsala. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, Madhurya Kanambini, out of all of his qualities, the topmost quality of Krishna is Bhakta Vatsala. This rules all of his other qualities. Compassion, humility, any quality that Krishna has, right? It is subservient to this quality of Bhakta Vatsala, which means he just wants to serve his devotees. This is when he is happiest, and this is when his devotees also get the most pleasure, when they see he is satisfied from serving. So this is Krishna's topmost position. So in one sense, this is the culmination of the whole Bhagavatam, right at this point. Certainly Krishna sat down here with his girlfriend to arrange her hair. The lusty boy must have made a crown for that lusty girl out of the flowers he had collected. Meenakshi, you want to read that one? So any points there?
Just by being the footprint, they are assuming full story
intensely they are thinking they are absorbed in Krishna. Just by the footprints only, they know they got the whole picture.
Mm.
What happened?
Mm. Good. Any other points? So what is Krishna's name in this regard?
Keshava.
This is what Keshava actually means on the deepest level. Keshava, the word Keshava has many, many names, many meanings. One meaning is the master of Brahma and Shiva, which is only Vishnu or Krishna. So that's one meaning. But more intimate meaning means one who has very beautiful hair. But even more intimate meaning is one who is expert in decorating his beloved's hair. So Rupa Goswami wrote a very beautiful ashtika called Keshavashtika, all about how Krishna will... it's all about Krishna, his beauty, how the gopis see him. So this is the meaning of the word Keshava. It means one who serves his beloved very expertly. Krishna is the best at everything. So the 64 arts and sciences, who is the best? Who is the best singer? Who is the best dancer? Right? So the best female dancer is Radharani. The best male dancer is Krishna. The best female singer is Radharani. The best male singer is Krishna. Sometimes the gopis, because Radharani plays which instrument in particular? Veena. Yeah. Krishna plays which instrument in particular? Flute. Yeah. And Radharani plays Veena. So sometimes they have concerts, not sometimes, often. They have concerts together. She plays Veena, he plays flute, and all the gopis join in with their instruments. So sometimes the gopis say to Radharani, "Where did you learn all of this?" They say to her, "Where did you learn? Who taught you the Veena?" She says, "I don't know." She said, I always knew how to play. I just picked it up. I just know how to play." So everything is in her. But she is the source of all the arts and the sciences. And same as Krishna, he's the source. So who is the best at hairdressing? Krishna. He's the best. So he's always known as Keshava because he's the best at decorating and dressing Shrimati Radharani's hair. So that is when he gets the most pleasure, when he can serve her in this way. And she gets the most pleasure because she knows that satisfies him. They're completely selfless. We have to learn that mood, not to put ourselves first. Why can't we understand these pastimes, or why can we not enter Krishna's pastimes yet? Because we don't understand the mood properly. The mood must be selfless. Just like we're called Hare Krishna devotees. But if you look at our technical Sanskrit traditional name, what is our technical name? Vaishnavas, yeah, but if you look at them more technically, what sort of Vaishnavas are we?
Gaudiya
Vaishnavas, but not even Gaudiya Vaishnavas. What's the more technical name? Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya Vaishnavas. Even that's not our full technical name, because we're also known as Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya Vaishnavas, who are Rupanuga Vaishnavas. And if you go even further, we're Saraswat. We're following Rupa Goswami, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And then if you want to go maybe even to the fullest extent, you could say we're Prabhupada Nugas. And we specifically come in that line. We're ISKCON. So we're very particular in our line. So we're known as Rupa Nuga. So who is Rupa? Rupa Goswami. And then who is Rupa Goswami in Radha Krishna's pastimes? Rupa Mandarin. Who is Rupa Mandarin? No, she's the principal assistant. She's the principal assistant. Everyone else follows her. Everyone follows her. All the mandris follow her. She is the most qualified. So she comes in this, in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, as Rupa Goswami. Now, Raghunath Das Goswami, in Radha Krishna's pastimes, he is known as Rati Manjari. Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari. They serve side by side, the most qualified service. When they enter into the grove, when Radha and Krishna are in the kunj together, and they enter in, they go in together, the two of them. Rupa Manjari goes to Krishna, and Rati Manjari goes to Radharani. Now, Rati Manjari, she loves Radharani more than Krishna. So when she walks in, she just sees Radharani. She just goes, whoa. Rati Manjari is Raghunath Das Goswami in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. At the end of every chapter of Chaitanya Charitamrita, how does it end? The Bengali says, Rupa Raghunatha Pade. Right? I am the follower of the lotus feet. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says, I have my basis at the lotus feet of Rupa, of Raghunath Das, because he says at the end of every single chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, we are the followers of Rupa Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami. But what is the difference in the mood? Right? The mood is that Raghunath goes into the kunj, goes straight to Radharani, because he thinks Radharani is my everything. Right? And Krishna is her lover. But Rupa Manjari goes in, goes straight to Krishna, because he loves them equally, Radha and Krishna equally, but he thinks, what will give Radharani the most pleasure if I tend to Krishna? So she goes straight to Krishna every time, because that will give Radharani the most pleasure. So that is the mood of devotion, which we are trying to emulate or trying to understand or trying to imbibe. Right? We are meant to become Rupa Nuga Vaishnavas. That's what it means to be a Rupa Nuga. Rupa Nuga means you have to learn to serve selflessly. Right? Devotees, we shouldn't worry about ourselves. I told you that story. My Guru Maharaj, he said to me upstairs there, what did he say to me? I told you a few times. Where is it? Yeah, he said, who cares what you want? Who cares what you want? That was one of the best instructions I got from my Guru. He said, who cares what you want? He said, why do you want to do this? I said, oh, because of this, this. He said, who cares what you want? Who cares what you want? Right? Because who cares? It doesn't matter what we want. That's not bhakti. Bhakti is not about what we want. It's about what does Krishna want. What does Guru want? What does Krishna want? That's bhakti. So we have to learn to serve Krishna in that way. Right? And that's why at this point in time, we can't serve Krishna. No? We don't have the qualification at this point in time to serve in the spiritual pastimes of Krishna. Why? Because we're too selfish. Mm-hmm. Right? I'll serve Krishna as long as I get doses. Mm-hmm. Or chapatis. Mm-hmm. As long as I get my roti, I will serve Krishna. But what if you don't get roti? What if you don't get roti ever again? But if you don't get your paratha, then what will you do? Right? What did Bhakti Santa Saraswati Thakur do? Right? 5 years old, right? He tried to take the mango before it was offered to Krishna. And then what happened? Yeah, Bhakti Vinod Thakur chastised him. He said, I am an offender, I will never eat a mango again. Right? So for another 60 years, he never ate a mango again. Hands up if you could do that. We don't even know what that means. How could you do that? Anything. Right? It's like someone saying to me, like, you're never going to have a gulab jamun again in your life. Right? It's impossible. I was actually with Tamal Krishna Maharaj, with my Guru Maharaj, in Oxford. Last time I saw him, actually. I was having prasadam with him. And we're talking about uttapan. You know, uttapan? Very nice prasadam. So every year I used to go Jagannath Puri. I used to have Uttapam. But the problem was, it was Kartik. And in Kartik, we follow Urdal fast. So you can't have Uttapam, right? Uttapam. Pan or Pam? Yeah. Okay, Uttapam. But sometimes I say Uttapam. Is it? I know what it is. So. Uttapam. I thought I heard them say Uttapam also. Only Uttapam. Okay. So, Uttapam. So, we're talking about it. And he said, I said, oh, in Jagannath Puri they make the best Uttapam. Right. And then he said, you can't eat that. I said, why not? And he said, it's Kartik. We fast from Urdal. I thought, in my mind, we don't eat Poppadoms. And this kind of means no popcorn. You know. But it means anything made of urda, which means idli, dosa, uttapam, means all the good stuff. So he said to me, he said, you can't eat that. He said, and he said to me, he said, I follow this strictly. And he was saying in such a way that he was leaving the choice to me. But he was watching my face. And I was staring off into the distance at this point. You know, I'd seen past my Guru Maharaj on his face. And you could see the look on my face. I was just thinking, oh my God. It's like, you know, this is tapasya. You know, what is this stupid movement? What is this stupid. Chattamashi, all these things. Right. So then, but since that day, I don't eat Uttapam. Uttapam. When I go to Puri or Mayapur, Vrindavan, till Kartik finishes. And then the day after Kartik finishes. I do, every year. Yeah, next day, straight line. I have paratha for breakfast. But then day after Uttapam, straight back into it. Not in the temple, no. Some of the, Bila guest house, yeah, where we take prasad, like that. They make it. So this is the point. Bhakti means it is not for me, it is for Krishna. Right? So it means you have to sometimes give things up that you don't want to give up. That's bhakti. So the gopis, they understand this. It's not about them, it's about Krishna. Bhakti is for Krishna's pleasure, it's not for our pleasure. So Srimati Radharani, she just wants Krishna to be happy. Right? The gopis want Krishna to be happy, not us. That's the difference. We don't understand this yet, that's why we can't enter these pastimes. Any points?
One more thing, Keshava means Keshi Dhiman also. Is there a Keshi Dhiman?
That's Keshi Nisudana. A different name.
Probably when we went to Jagannath Puri, that was Ekadashi day. And all those priests there, you know, the Brahmana, they wanted us to eat the grain. And they didn't eat it. And then we went to the ISKCON, you know, somebody met and we asked him. And so he said, well, we can eat it tomorrow. So we kept it and eat it tomorrow. But people say you should not have done it.
Should not have.
Done that, you know. In Jagannath Puri, you must eat as soon as you see the prasadam.
Yeah, but Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did not take reins on the Kodashi.
Yeah?
Yeah. In Puri and Vrindavan, the bridge buses don't follow Ekadashi. Like if you go to Vrindavan today,
yeah.
Everyone who's born in Vrindavan, they don't follow Ekadashi. They're all sitting there eating grains on Ekadashi. Mm-hmm. But Lord Chaitanya instructed his followers to follow. Okay. So we do it.
So we did the right thing.
You did the right thing. Yeah. In Puri, they don't follow Ekadashi.
I think they say that they have lost the Ekadashi.
They have built a temple in her temple. I think there is a vehicle that she dropped there. So we can eat there. That's what they're
doing. Yeah, they'll say like that. Yeah. Lord Chaitanya's followers, we follow differently. Lord Chaitanya asked his mother, Mother Sachi, to follow Ekadashi. So if Mother Sachi has to follow it, we have to follow it also. And I notice, actually, some devotees, they don't follow it strictly. Some devotees I know, they don't follow Ekadashi strictly. It's not good.
See, we kept that prasad with us, and we had to travel in the train next day.
Yeah.
And but when we ate, we all got diarrhea.
Yeah, because the prasadam is prasadam, but the bacteria is not prasadam. You have to understand this point.
What should we have
then? You give it to the animals or something. Or give it to the fish in the ocean or something. In India, I don't take risks. Because in India, like, you just get sick. You leave something for half an hour, you get sick.
But isn't that disrespectful?
No, it says in Shastra that you can put it in the ocean. You put it in the ocean, or you give it to some animal or something like that. What's that? Yeah, give it to birds or something like that. Like at the farm, you know, when we finish prasadam, if there's anything left, we give to the dogs or we give to the birds or something like that.
We can bury in the ground.
Bury in the ground or something. The worms will take it. Mm-hmm. Yeah, different things you can do. Okay. Sukadeva Goswami continued, Lord Krishna enjoyed with that gopi, although he enjoys only within, being self-satisfied and complete in himself. Thus, by contrast, he showed the wretchedness of ordinary lusty men and hard-hearted women. Because the point that Sukadeva Goswami is making here is he's pausing once again. He did this in the previous chapter for a number of verses, but he's pausing here once again. Once again, he's making the point this is not mundane. This is on the spiritual platform. Krishna and his pastime of the gopis is not material. What we see in this world is the perverted reflection of what's there. What's everyone absorbed in the material world? Yeah, basically lust. If you look at it all, basically lust. What Prabhupada says, the very first purport of the Bhagavatam, if you go to Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 1, Verse 1, Prabhupada says sex life is the active principle of the material world. Without sex, the whole thing stops. Right? Everyone gets up in the morning for one reason. Right? Sex life. Right? Prabhupada was caught in a traffic jam one time. Right? And Prabhupada's in the traffic jam, he just leant back and you see, sex life. That's all it is. All these stupid buildings, all these stupid cars. Every morning at 8 o'clock in the morning, there's a traffic jam on the Westgate Bridge. It's all one thing, sex life. You take sex life out of it, the whole thing stops. With sex life, everyone will keep doing all the stupidity. They'll do all the austerity, right, for that one reason. So the whole material world is based on this one point, right? And it is a perverted reflection of what's the reality, the adi-ras. In the spiritual world, the whole spiritual world also operates on one point, the attraction between Radha and Krishna. That's what keeps the whole spiritual world rotating, right? Krishna gets up in the morning for one reason, because he knows he's going to meet Srimati Radharani. That's the only reason he gets up in the morning. Practically speaking, that is his main impetus. That's his driving force. But as Sukadeva Goswami says here, there's no lust. Radharani is completely selfless. Krishna is completely selfless. It's transcendental. It's above the modes of material nature. Kama Esha, Kroda Esha, Raja Guna, Samudbhava. It's completely free from material contamination. So there's a different pastime. So Sukadeva Goswami is stopping here and he's making this point. Srimati Radharani, Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur says, she is the source of Ladini Shakti. Ladini Shakti means Krishna's pleasure potency. Krishna is known as Atmarama, but factually he's not Atmarama, because he relies on his pleasure potency to satisfy him. So Srimati Radharani is his pleasure potency. She gives him pleasure. She is the personification of Mahabhava, which means the highest, highest, highest levels of love of God. So she is so qualified, Krishna does not even need anyone else. That's how qualified Radharani is. That's why he took her by herself. It's just her service alone can completely satisfy him. Srimati Radharani ki?
Yeah.
Okay, one more verse. Two more verses. As the gopis wandered about, their minds completely bewildered, they pointed out various signs of Krishna's pastimes. The particular gopi whom Krishna had led into a secluded forest when he had abandoned all the other young girls began to think herself the best of women. My beloved has rejected all the other gopis, she thought. Even though they are driven by Cupid himself, he has chosen to reciprocate with me alone. So, we see already that Krishna has left all of the other gopis. Now, why did he leave them? Because they became proud. Now, it's a very important point we have to understand because we're finishing on that verse, those two verses, and we'll continue next week. And then this will be explained, elaborated upon for the rest of the chapter. It's very important to understand that gopis' pride is not material. They can't be proud because they're Krishna's eternal associates. They're his Ladini Shakti. The pride which they apparently felt was induced by Yoga Maya, the spiritual pastime potency. They began to feel a little bit proud, apparently, like when Bhagavad Gita was spoken. Arjuna became bewildered. Arjuna cannot become bewildered. Yoga Maya bewildered him so it could be spoken. The gopis appeared to act as if they were proud so that Krishna would leave them. So we see the glory of their love. So this unmad, or this divine madness and the highest levels of love of God will be displayed. Krishna is glorifying them. And now, Srimati Radharani is about to do the same thing. She's the only one who wasn't proud, but now she starts becoming proud. Right? She starts ordering Krishna around. Right? Oh, Krishna, I'm tired. Can you please carry me? And she turns around and he's not there. Just disappears. Right? To drive her mad, to show her exalted position. Now, the acharyas point out that why is it that Krishna went off only with her? Right? Because she became angry once again, man. She displayed man. That why is Krishna with all these others? They can't satisfy him the way I can. So because of her man or her anger, that induced Krishna to leave. And just to take her away, because he could detect she was feeling angry, dissatisfied. See, why sudden the Siddha gopis are there? Or the Munichari gopis, the Shrutichari gopis, they're not qualified enough to associate with the Nitya Siddhas. So then Krishna took her away to pacify her mind. Okay. Anything else? Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.